Hello and welcome to I've Never Seen the OC. We're on Season 3, Episode 9, The Disconnect.
I didn't realise that's what it was called. Like, I've written it down, I'm reading it, and I'm like, I never paid attention to what it was actually called. The Disconnect.
There you go.
Learn something new every day, guys. Hi, we are I've Never Seen the OC. We're a podcast. Thank you for joining us, listening to us. My name is Heather. I have never seen the OC.
My name is Jane. I have seen the OC.
Sure, that's us.
It's a general premise.
Yeah. Every week we watch an episode and then chat about an episode. The Disconnect, that is what this episode is called. I have learned that now. I'm reading what I've written down. Strong start, Heather.
It's all going to make sense. It's all going to make sense.
It's going to be fine. The only other business I would like to bring to the table is the internet is still rife with rumours of a reboot. Like, rife.
I don't know. I think the last year and a half's maybe really taken its toll on me, and I just can't believe anything until it's actually happening.
Right. So. Until I see it on Rachel Bilson's internet, I refuse to believe it. Apparently, Ryan is the guy that's not interested.
Really?
The lovely Sammy Lee, shout out Sammy, sent us an article from Pedestrian TV, and that was the chat, was Ryan isn't into it.
Oh.
Which is funny because I thought it would have been Seth.
Yeah, because Seth actually seems to be popping up in a lot of sort of Netflix films or films that I'm like, oh, I didn't actually know that he'd been doing that much since, you know? Yeah.
But I guess Ryan's done, his name's not Ryan, his name's Ben. I need to not do that. Ben. They are very different people. Ben did like Gotham and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, I never watched, but I remember seeing that. And I think he has popped up in the odd Netflix thing as well.
The only thing I can think of Adam Brody in is New Girl, when he pops up as Jess's ex-boyfriend.
Yes. There was something I went to watch recently though, and I was like, oh, I didn't know Adam Brody was in this. But yeah, how much is he totally a Jess's ex type?
Yeah. Yeah, he's I think the character he plays in that was very, very believable.
Yeah, that's definitely next on my list for the rewatch. Big fan.
We never finished it. I think we got to a certain point and like Jess and Whatsy's Shops were doing the, oh, I'm not sure if we should be together. Oh, maybe we should be together. Oh, I'm not sure. We're going to break up. We're going to get back together. I got to a point where I was like, guys, just fucking sort your life out. Like, yeah.
So did you miss like when Zoe was pregnant and they brought in Megan Fox for a season?
Yeah, no, we didn't get to that point. did not get to that point.
Wild.
Maybe I'll jump back in.
Yeah, jump right back in.
Did they literally just sub her out for Megan Fox?
Pretty much, yeah, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
And nobody made any comment about the fact it was a different actor.
No, I can't remember. There was some sort of segue. I realise it's about a lot of TV. I binge watched it so much that I remember none of the plot points or what actually happened, just how I felt at the time. So, yeah. That'll be like watching the news. Yeah. Anyway,
last time on the OC, the most important storyline, the thing I care most about, Kirsten and Julie are going into business. Very exciting. Want to know more, ladies. Here for it. I'm very here for it.
So we've got the Brown versus Berkeley chat.
Yeah, all the college chat from last week.
Yeah.
Although, I was surprised that came up because I kind of thought that was like sorted.
Yeah, poof. Well, definitely not. But I think what's quite key at the previously in the OC is it flashes back to Taylor and Summer's chat about Summer not really feeling good enough.
Yeah, not feeling smart enough.
Yeah, not smart enough, felt a bit out of her depth. So obviously that's quite pivotal in terms of where this episode goes. And then we've got Sandy and Matt. Again, what is Matt Steele?
We're about to find out, Matt Steele.
Yeah, but even then I still don't think, but anyway. And then obviously key incident. Johnny got run over.
Summer thinks that he likes Marissa. Ryan kind of feels responsible for Johnny getting run
over. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Yeah, we kick off this episode. Johnny is in the car with Ryan, Seth and Marissa. And they've clearly been picking him up from the hospital and taking him home because nobody else is available. Chili was off working on something else that episode. So he's not in it. And his mum is working.
Yeah, I was thinking like why is Summer not there? But maybe there just wasn't enough seats in the car. Could be as simple as that. Yeah. So they're dropping him home. And Marissa passes comment on his house. She's like, oh, is it the one with the white trim? And he's like, no, it's the one next to it. Which is a smaller but pretty cute house, I thought.
It is such a cute house. We talked about this when they went to Teresa's house back in Chino. And Teresa's house is cute. Like, it's got cute little fairy lights. Like, I'm here for it. And it's the same. Johnny's house is cute. Maybe we're just not rich enough.
Maybe. Although this sort of like, when he's like, oh yeah, the infinity pool's in the back, and then Seth hits out with, oh dude, don't worry about it, you should see where Ryan used to live. And it's just like, fuck off, Seth, like, check your privilege, come on.
Rich kids, man.
Ugh.
But interestingly, he, like, Johnny makes a kind of comment where he's like, oh, we won't be here for long because, you know, when I go pro, when I become a pro surfer and win all these tournaments and And I am all for people having goals and, like, dreams and ambitions. But, like, I don't know, it's such a...
deluded.
Well, do you know the thing is? Like, maybe he is an amazing surfer. Like, Chili thought he was great. Chili thought it was doable. But it's that thing where you're like, you don't want to be, like, that adult that's like, maybe you should have a plan B. But then you also are like, are you deluded?
Like, but this is the thing. It's the amount of kids that I'm like, do your English homework. And they're like, oh, but I'm going to be a footballer and I won't need Nat 5 English. And I'm like, as much as I would love... And maybe you will be a footballer, pal, but... when you turn 30 and your football career's over, you might actually need to get a job. So
do you know,
hand in your homework.
There is a lucrative circle of tutors specifically for footballers because so many footballers haven't paid enough attention to their education that they hit their mid-20s and suddenly they're like, oh, actually, I should probably give a shit about this stuff. And so loads of them have tutors in English and English and maths. I take it all back.
How do I get involved in this?
Right.
I imagine there's very good money.
I have a hookup. I will remind me afterwards. I'll hook you up, Bae.
Amazing.
Sorry, I am so distracted. And for listeners, you can't see me, but Jane, I'm sure you can see that I am like looking out of the window of my house so much because there are two bats flying flying about outside our window. And I'm just like, it's so distracting because, you know,
that's mad.
You know how they kind of like fly in a really like jolty motion. It's so distracting.
That's, I thought you had a mirror or something for listeners. Heather looks very dolled up and cute tonight. Oh, so I didn't think she was just distracted by her own reflection, but no bats.
No, two bloody big bats just batting about. Anyway, I might even close the curtains. That's how distracting it is. We'll see how we go. Anyway, is Johnny deluded? Who bloody knows?
Oh, this next scene is so awkward. And I think like Seth's like, I can't watch this and neither can I. When Johnny's like, I don't need any help. And then he's struggling up the stairs and then he falls. Oh. Marissa has to get out of the car to go and help him because obviously she's got a free period.
Of course.
Conveniently. But yeah, it's just, it's mega awkward. So like Marissa runs and helps him. And then Seth just looks at Ryan and Ryan is just like, don't speak.
Don't say anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I trust Marissa. Johnny's got no one. And then the theme tune kicks in.
Yeah. Have you ever been on crutches?
No.
I have twice. So like, see when he's trying to put, as soon as he had that shoulder bag, I was like, nah, honey, you need a rucksack. Like, I've been there. You can't go to Tesco with a tote bag. You need to take a rucksack. I learned that the hard way. Yeah, I felt for Johnny. It brought me back to like some Nam style flashbacks.
Oh, man.
Trying to get on the tube with crutches. Not the one.
Woofed.
Anyway, Kirsten and Julie chatting business. This is what I'm here for.
No, what I'm here for is a Newport bookstore. I was like, yes, this is amazing. It's like, wow, you can well tell this is 2005 and places are still opening independent bookstores. I'm like, wow.
Of course, that's what you were into. Yeah. Of course, that's what you were into. Whereas that was Kirsten's idea. Julie wants strippers doing the laundry. Sure. Sure.
Give the Sandy
people
gets
what,
it.
Yeah. Give the people what they want. That's Julie's motto.
And yes, Julie makes a little quip that like Sandy gets it. He's been at the Newport Group for a fortnight. He's a businessman now.
Yeah. It's just funny. I really like this dynamic that they've set up, that Julie's like the wild pal and Christian's like the sensible one. It's cute. What was not cute was when they were talking about low-income housing and Julie's reasons for not liking it. And she was like, if you make poor people too comfortable, what's the incentive to get rich? And I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
that is a bit, such a Tory thing to say.
It's such a Tory. Yuck. But they then decide that they could be good at party planning because they've thrown enough black tie benefits. So seems like a good plan to me.
I thought that was always the plan. I thought that's what they talked about in the episode early last week, like last time.
You just sort of presumed, didn't you, that that's where it was going to go. But anyway, they decide that's what they're going to go for. And then we cut to school. And we've got Seth and Ryan discussing Marissa again. And her being with Johnny, but that's quickly interrupted by Summer, who got her SAT results.
And she's done so well.
Yeah. I'm so this means nothing to me. I totally don't understand how the SAT system works. But I'm like, whoa, 2,300? Woo, go Summer.
I loved it when she was like, oh, I got like 2,300. I was just like, I don't know what that means, but it sounds really good.
Me neither,
really,
but it sounds a lot.
I'm so proud of her.
She did better than Seth, despite the fact that she patched the actual SATs for a Valley Marathon.
Yeah, of course. Priorities.
And then Seth hits, this is so problematic, and we'll talk about it as we go through, but Seth hits out with this sort of third grader analogy that, it could be a total fluke.
Yeah.
And he says, like, how else do you explain it? And it's just like, shut up, Seth. Like, really shut up. And then when Ryan's like, oh, well, she did save Chris McCaw. And like, stop just reducing her to,
yeah. I feel this is like the pinnacle of Summer not being a sidekick anymore and being a main character. Like, this is a first real storyline that is just Summer coming into her own. And I love it. Yeah, I love it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Let's cut over to Marissa, who is fussing over Johnny.
Who looks so uncomfortable, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just a bit like, oh.
Yeah. And she's kind of like, oh, is everything okay? Like, and he's just a bit like, yeah, but can you like leave me alone? Like, this is too much. And this is where Johnny's mum comes in and is peak mum. This is peak
she's
mum
so
behaviour. She's like, so
cute.
Of course I know who you are. Johnny talks about you all the time. And you're like, oh yeah, we all know what that means.
Yeah. And she's all like, oh, you didn't tell me she was so gorgeous. And he's like, nah, you're embarrassing her.
It's so cute.
It's very cute.
But it turns out she's hunted down the best surgeon in California, but there's a waiting list for like a month or two.
Yeah, so it's basically the tour is not going to be able to happen.
No.
But obviously Marissa's like, oh, we'll be able to get you moved up. But Johnny doesn't look like it's happening.
I felt really sorry for his mum here when she's like, I did the best I could.
I tried, yeah.
And do you know the thing is, like, you know she did. Like, what she's achieved is amazing. Like, to even get him, even to get on that list is bloody
definitely.
Amazing.
Definitely. But yeah, it all just feels, I felt that scene was really awkward.
Yeah.
But then it cuts to the lounge.
Yes.
Student lounge where Seth and Summer are discussing Summer's aptitude.
I love the fact that she was like, it turns out I'm like totally smart.
Seth has to bring her down and being like, yeah, but smart in your own way. I'm like, oh, shut up, Seth.
But then she quips back and she's like, in your way too.
Yep.
I love it. And she kind of explains that she, like, the Dr. Kim is like, some people are just academically gifted and haven't applied themselves. And that's what it turns out Summer's
situation.
And that's
her gal Summer. So she can go to Brown. And she obviously thinks that's going to be great, but Seth is raging.
But yeah, it's really cute because she's really excited. And in her head, she's like, oh, this is something we can do together.
She's doing it for them. Yeah, totally. And she's talking about how the scale colours are seal brown and how cute are seals. And then Seth just, almost just shuts her down in a bit of like mansplaining to her when he's just like, oh, what are you reading? And it's basically just implying that it's too highbrow. For Summer, and she's like, oh, I'm smart now too, so I might enjoy it. But Seth is just totally, he's just raging and can't really hide it.
I remember me and Kerry talked about this. If you're new to the podcast, Kerry was the co-host for season one.
GBNF.
Yeah.
Love to Kerry.
She was our co-host for season one and season two. But we talked about this quite a lot, that Seth is really like that gatekeeper, like, this is my knowledge, this is my thing, and you can't know about it as much as I do because it's my thing. He did it with the comic books, he did it with music, and now he's doing it with, like, smarts and education.
Yeah. It was like how Zach was so threatening to him in so many levels because he's been so used to being the sort of indie, different kid that always brought something different and he just can't handle it, especially when it's summer. But yeah, it's just so bloody annoying. He's just been such a wee guy. You're just like, ugh. Yeah.
It's not a good look on him. It's not a good look on him at all.
So we head over to the Coens where Matt is there and Kirsten is getting Ty. So she seems to have totally patched cooking with Kiki and they're getting Ty in and they're just having a little bit of chat. And Matt's like, oh, you two are so perfect for each other. And Sandy's like, well, look, pal, we've been working at it for 25 years, so you'd hope so.
Yeah.
And then that takes us to the topic of Matt's love life, and Sandy's like, oh, you must have a girl in Chicago, and he's just like, yeah, yeah, and kind of brushes it off, and then he makes some, like, weird comment of, like, oh, and here's a couple of guys who know a lot about girls, or, like, something to that effect, and Seth and Ryan come in.
Again, like, peak dad behaviour.
Yeah, but such a...
Here they are, the two Romeos.
Yeah. and then obviously you've got Matt and Sandy looking at a plan of what they envisage this low-income housing looking like. And of course, 17-year-old Ryan comes in and he's like, well, actually, I would do this and do that with all his architecture knowledge that he's so good at.
Yeah.
And of course, he's going to be their intern.
Of course. I mean, that's kind of, it does make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Surprised it's not come up before
it's
now.
Only taken Matt to suggest this. You'd think Sandy would have... had him in there, but
hey, surprised he's not CEO by now.
Yeah, so apparently he had plans with Marissa, but Matt's like, cancel your plans, you're coming to be our intern.
Yeah, sure. Speaking of Marissa, we cut on over to her hanging out with Johnny again, and she's looking into this surgeon, and Johnny is like not here for it. Like, she's very much trying to not save him, but is like,
her heart's in the right place, isn't it?
She's trying to
basically use her privilege to help someone less privileged.
Exactly, which is kind of nice. But I can get why Johnny's a bit, like, gone and all. But
it's
like,
too much.
At the same time, like, it's not like it's hugely far removed. Like, her mum did loads of charity work for them. Summer's dad works with him. So, yeah.
It makes sense.
I think and I would have done the same in Marissa's position.
Yeah, and I think the point she makes is completely valid when he's like, I can't, and she's like, why? In case I decide to be a surfer and then have to cash in this favour at some point. And it's a bit like, look, they're trying to help you here and they can. Why not? But he's just been so annoying and feeling sorry for himself. And I'm just like, what's it, Johnny? Just let her help you.
Sulky. Yeah, is
so wet blankets.
Yeah, he's not doing it for me.
Just annoying.
Summer turns up. Ryan's on the phone, so Marissa has to pop out to take that call. Which I'll come back to. So she has to leave to go and take the call with Ryan, and Summer comes in, and this is where Johnny confesses to Summer that he's in love with Marissa, and her acting like this is making it even harder. So he needs her help, I guess, to like make her stop hanging about so much. Yeah. And then obviously ends it with the infamous, don't tell anyone, promise. Because,
So, and then we cut to Summer's mansion. So obviously Summer and Marissa have got home, and Marissa's asking Summer, look, can you ask your dad for Johnny, her plan to try and get him moved up the list? And Summer's trying to deter her, just saying that, look, this is maybe not the best idea, maybe you should just let Johnny deal with it himself. And then Marissa says, oh, like, I quite like being his nursemaid. It's like, okay, so she's definitely enjoying playing like the role of the rescuer, isn't she? And it's maybe giving her a little bit of purpose, and I think her heart is in a good place. And then she's like, oh, maybe I should be a nurse. And there's just a bit of an awkward pause. And
well, does Summer just laughs at her, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's like, cool.
I, on it, like, obviously nurses are angels amongst us humans, but there is no part of me that would ever want to do that job. Like, no. I don't know how people do it.
No, I don't have the capacity for kindness.
I don't have the patience. I'm just like, for fuck's sake.
Big up the nurses. It's definitely not a job I could do.
No, for sure. Right, this is where we go to Seth and Ryan hanging out in the corridor at school. And I was like, I don't get why Seth is annoyed that Summer's clever. Like, I just don't get it. And I tried really hard. I paused the telly show and was like thinking about it. And I was like, I just don't get it. I just don't get why he's annoyed that Summer's clever.
He's just so selfish and self-absorbed in the fact that anyone could threaten or question or... Yeah, I think he says it later on, but I do think you very much get that. I suppose it's obviously all his own insecurities.
Yeah.
You know, that he feels his intelligence and sort of having that over Summer is the one thing that he has over her.
I just find like the idea that women shouldn't be as clever as men, I get a whiff of that. It's like, no, she's silly. She likes fashion. She's like into the valley. That's her character.
Yeah.
So like, I kind of appreciate the writers being like, actually, she's really clever. But no, like,
definitely.
Yeah. I've definitely come up amongst a fair few men in my life who don't like clever women.
Yep.
And it makes me really sad that, I don't know, somebody would potentially watch this, like especially like a young impressionable girl watch this and be like, oh, maybe I should dumb myself down so the boys will like me. And that makes me really sad.
Yeah, completely. And as it's, well, Ryan says, oh, Summer's a genius, that's like your problem. And Seth's like, oh, don't be like throwing that word about. And Ryan just says, look, don't compete with her. And then Seth's like, do you think she'd win? It's just like, fuck's sake.
Ugh, yeah, it's pretty gross.
Yeah, Seth does not come across well at all in this episode.
No.
But anyway, we cut to Julie and Kirsten at the yacht club.
Yes.
Right. Sorry. Before we go anywhere, Julie's boots in this scene.
Julie's boots are fucking hell. I kind of love them. Like, I kind of love it. She's wearing, like, a black dress, her hair down, looking voluminous and voluptuous as always. And then she's wearing, are they, like, Louis Vuitton knee-high boots?
They're, like, I didn't even notice the soles, but they're knee-high and they have, like, butterflies all over them.
What's the brand I'm thinking of that was, like, a handbag that was white with all the multicolored logos on it?
Oh, sorry, no, you're right. Louis Vuitton. Yeah, sorry.
I said Louis Vuitton. Yeah. It's Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton's in it. Yeah. I don't know. I thought the pattern was like butterflies.
But it was the same vibe. Like, it was
I know exactly what you mean. We need to look these boots up and we can confirm on Insta. Yeah.
We'll ask Fashion of the OC and see what they have to say. But yeah, they are out there. It's a look.
Yeah.
I'm all for a statement shoe, but I think that might be too far for me.
Yeah. But I thought this was actually pretty cute because at first Julie's just so not interested. And it's purely because she's excited about the food.
She's hungry.
I was like, oh, Julie. Oh.
To be fair, I agree. If you go to a business lunch or a business dinner and anyone tries to talk business before the food arrives, no. Like, let me get some food in me.
Yeah. But that's what Kirsten's like, if this business works, you'll never have to boil your dinner again.
Although ramen is great. Like, don't talk ramen, Kiki. Ramen's the one.
But yes, Kirsten conveniently has to go outside for her supply sheet from the car. Mm-hmm. And this really creepy guy comes over and joins Julie.
Obviously, it's called Jeff.
So he's like trying to give Julie all the chat. She's just like, oh, I'm on a business lunch, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what's your business? And then cuts to Kirsten returning, looking raging.
Kirsten's eye roll here is iconic.
Yeah, she's like, oh.
So good.
But he's going to hire them. So classic Julie Cooper has worked it to an advantage.
Of course she has. What a
bit. They've got their first client. So, yeah.
Also, $5,000 for a house party. That's like...
Yeah, wow.
I mean, fairly cheap, though, if you think how many people are going to be there. I want to know numbers.
Considering it was $5,000 ahead to go to their black tie event last week.
Right?
2 weeks ago, however long ago it was.
Let's not go into the time frame on this show. It confuses me greatly. Let's head over to school. And the smart girls didn't expect to see Summer. Why do smart girls always wear pearls? I find it very confusing.
Ashley and Madison, oh, we didn't expect to see you here, Summer. No offense. Like, shut up. But Summer handled herself quite well. She's just like, okay, well, I am. And Seth just wants to leave. And he's like, oh, you don't have to do this for me. And it's just like, pal, this isn't for you. Like, it's not about you. It's not all about you. But this is where hits,
where he's like, this has been my dream for you. This has been my dream for years. Shut up, Seth. Yeah.
Like, and he's like, all of a sudden it's your dream too. And Summer's like, well, I never had a dream. And then, oh, this is like so awful. When she's like, maybe I could be the first woman in space or like win a Nobel Prize. And Seth's like, women have been in space since the 60s and it's a Nobel. And it's just like, oh, like sharp Seth. Yeah, she's crying.
Yeah, I just, right. Sometimes in life, there are people who are smarter than other people. That is the way of the world. Yeah, that's how it works.
Totally.
But don't be an arsehole and point it out. Like, it doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you a better person. You don't need to put somebody else down to make yourself feel better. And if you do, then you're not totally a very nice person. And that's exactly what he does here. And I'm not about it.
And then she points out, well, I know more about working a room. Yeah. And stalks off to talk to people, which is right.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, Ryan is at the Newport group. He's on his first day of internship. So is he just not going to school now because he's interning?
Heather Ryan never went to school. We already know that. He's never going to school.
I want to talk to Dr. Kim. I'm very concerned about Ryan's education at this point.
They fought so much to get him back into the school and he's never there. Like,
it
just picking up his pals for the hospital, stalking his new girlfriend at her school. Now he's got an internship.
It doesn't make any sense.
But yeah, so we're starting to learn a little bit more about Matt, but he's got a lot in his mind because for this job, which seems to be his dream job, he's relocated. He's asked his girlfriend. They've gone to Cabo and he's proposed and said, come down and live with me. And she's just been like, nope.
Yeah.
So he's heartbroken, which I found weird. He hasn't told Sandy. You think that would maybe be, especially if you're, him and Sandy seem like quite pally. So he's not told Sandy. And then obviously Sandy, being unaware of the situation, comes in and lands him with all this legislation that basically, if the legislation passes, it's going to have a huge impact on this low income housing. So what he needs Matt to do for him is to work out both scenarios so that they can present to these investors the next day.
Yeah, I find this really difficult because I am very much of the mindset that like work is work, and like sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you do have to put your personal stuff at the door and just get on with work. And sometimes that helps. Sometimes it takes your mind off it. You come back to your problems with like a new perspective. So like him using this like, oh, I'm heartbroken as like an excuse for what he does later in the episode, I'm like, nah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I felt that, and I also felt the fact that, see if he'd just patched it completely, but it's the fact that he involves Ryan and he divulges this to Ryan. So it didn't add up for me. But anyway.
No. We have a really like quick, non-important scene, this next scene, which could have just been melted into another scene, but here we are. It's at the Brown meeting, and this is where Seth and Summer find out that there's only one place at Brown. But it's not
believable.
It's not that it's like typically only one. Typically only one student from Harbour gets into Brown. So at no point do they say it's impossible for more than one, but typically only one student from Harbour gets into Brown, which sets them off on this ridiculous spiral that they are now competing to be that one.
Yeah.
I think, see if this was like Ryan and Seth, like two pals, or Marissa and Summer, if it was two pals on this storyline, I'd find it much more believable. I just don't find it very believable that a couple would act like this. They would compete like this to get in for a uni space.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm really pleased the direction that Summer's character is going in and her having like different dimensions to her character. But this all felt a bit forced and a bit fast.
Yeah.
You know, the whole pitting them against each other. But anyway, we'll have more to say about that later on. But we jump across to Johnny's house.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, and Marissa is telling Johnny's mum that he's been bumped up the list and he's getting the operation next week.
Yep, he's got the appointment next week to go in, and she asks, oh, stay for dinner, this calls for celebration. And Marissa's a bit like, oh, actually, I'm seeing my boyfriend. And she's, oh, no, invite him over. Cue her to call in Ryan. And then as she calls Ryan, Matt's taking them to the strippers. Fuck, where did that come from?
There is a time and a place in anyone and everyone's life for a strip club, but it's probably not the healthiest coping mechanism for a breakup. I'm putting it out there. Like, if that's what you want to do in your spare time, if that's what you get your kinks, no kink shaming from me. Like, you do you. It is not a healthy coping mechanism when you're meant to be doing your job. And then add on top of that, taking a 17-year-old with you. Not okay, hun.
Yeah, this is what I found really weird. And Ryan just looks so uncomfortable. And it's just the line he says, oh, I do some of my best thinking here. Blech. And I was just like, bulk, bulk, bulk.
It's not okay.
And then this particular girl comes over to him and he's like, oh, this is my muse, Lily. And then she says, shall I get the champagne room ready for you? And I was just like, whoa.
No. Ryan is just not into it either. Like, Yeah. Like, sex work is real work, and that part of, I feel as well, there's a lot of, like, throughout the OC, there's a lot of shame around, like,
definitely
stripping or using your body to make money. And I feel like, again, like, this is just such a weird setup. But yeah, Ryan's not into it at all. At all.
Nope. And then we cut to Kirsten and Sandy. They're in the kitchen and Seth struts in with a pirate costume. And when he's asked to explain, he's like, oh, Summer and I are in a war. It's like, what? It's
just ridiculous. Yeah. And this is where Kirsten and Sandy find out that Summer is trying to get into Brown as well. And this is where Kirsten, like, quite, I think this was quite realistic, is like, really? Like, I just didn't expect her. And kind of like insinuates, I always thought Summer was like a bit ditzy, a bit dumb. And that's when Sandy hits out with the line, she did save Chrismica.
Yeah, they're all bloody obsessed with this saving of Chrismica, aren't they? Whatever. And we've then got them talking about Ryan and Matt being together, and Sandy's like, yeah, I mean, I think he's a good influence. He could be a good role model. Yeah. Obviously, cut to the strippers and Ryan looks so awkward.
Yeah. This stripper isn't like, so normally in a stripper there's like a no touching rule. This stripper is like lying on top of him. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not okay, but sure. And then his phone is going and she's like, oh, let me get that. And like, oh, it's just
But then, and like, obviously
he's,
it's Marissa.
17. Like, come on.
There's just, it's so problematic, isn't it? There's so many. Yeah.
Not okay. But yeah, it's Marissa who's on the phone and she's sitting next to Johnny taking this phone call and leaving this voicemail. And I'm like, why did she have to leave the room earlier to chat to Ryan? But now,
she's doing it next to sleeping Johnny. And obviously Johnny falls asleep with his head on her shoulder and it's all just a bit, it's very teenage, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I did quite like it when she like poked his head away and then it like slumped back on. It was cute.
Yeah, I feel that's like vibes of me on a plane falling asleep on some stranger sitting next to me.
I have done that on the train before. Yeah. I actually woke up in like the nook of someone's shoulder.
Oh no.
Like, so clearly I'd fallen asleep and then they've got a dead arm and they've kind of moved. And instead of me like leaning out of it, I've just like nuzzled in further. I got there. Oh. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And he was like, oh no, it's okay. And I was like, fuck it. Sorry.
Brilliant.
All I have in this next thing is Ryan looks very annoyed, but I don't know what that's about.
So we're back to the strippers again, and it looks like Ryan's drinking a milkshake. I'm like, it's a milkshake or a White Russian or a glass of milk. I don't know.
I'd love it if it was a glass of milk.
Yeah, and I think like Nelly's playing or something that's of the... It sounds like Nelly anyway, but yeah. And then he tries to call Marissa, but obviously by this point she's asleep, and I've just written down, this is not looking good for anyone.
No. No.
Yeah, it's just like, oh. But yeah, so then we cut to the next morning, and Marissa's getting back from Johnny's, and Summer, we've got a little exchange between Summer and Marissa where she's like, where have you been?
I've been worried sick.
Yeah, and it's like she's been worried sick for about the 10 minutes since she's noticed that she wasn't there. And she's like, oh, I fell asleep at Johnny's. And Summer just looks raging.
Yeah.
And then this is quite funny. So Summer's like got this tuba.
Yeah.
And turns out she's had a tuba since fifth grade.
Yeah. And she went to band camp.
Secretly going to band camp.
I love that.
And then... So they're talking about her staying at Johnny and they're like, does Ryan know? Cue Ryan enter, and he's like, no, what?
Yeah.
And then they all just sort of, but what I found interesting here was Ryan and Marissa both sort of dance around without actually lying outright.
Yeah.
So they both sort of talk about their evenings without divulging any details, but not really lying. And it's just, yeah.
Lying by omission, I guess is what you would call it. Right. Summer in her band get up. Sure. So this is all based on the fact there's only one place at Brown. And
oh, but we've skipped a little because that we've got, it's just a really short scene of
the Newport group. Yep.
Matt looks like shit. That's all we need to know. So he looks like he's been on a bit of a bender.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty much a nothing scene. And then we cut to school.
Yeah. So Summer's in her band get up and Seth is a pirate. Sure. And this is them trying to get into more clubs because that will hopefully make them stand out.
They're looking for their hook, aren't
they? Yeah. They're trying to stand out for that Brown application. And this is where they kind of have this confrontation where she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, what are you doing? And it's just like, so Summer says to him, why do you have to be better at me than everything? And he says, no, there was just one thing I was better at you at.
He's
and
like, that's just that I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was quite sad. Like,
yeah, I felt really conflicted here because at the start, yeah, it's really difficult to feel any sympathy for Seth, but then... Yeah, as someone who's also quite competitive, I was like, I'm not going to say I can see where he's coming from, but like, I think he can't help himself, essentially, you know, I don't think it's coming from a necessarily, it's a bad place, as in, but I don't think it's intentional, you know, I think that he's clinging on to, I think of his perception of himself, and I think there is still a lot of insecurities there that this is someone that he is idolized and loved all his life, has had quite a rough time of it at school, is now in this situation and it's maybe clinging to, well, she maybe likes me because of this, and now he feels he doesn't even have that anymore. So yeah.
Like I get it, but you know that the thing is, and we mention it every bloody week, Jane, is like, they are just kids. They're like 17 years old, and like, if that is your thing, if you are the smart guy and then somebody is smarter than you,
you
would feel threatened. But I just think it would be so different if it was your partner, right? But
it's not your pal, it's your partner. No, definitely. But yep, so we then go over to the Newport group and we've got Sandy giving the presentation, and then he passes over to Matt, bearing in mind Matt and Ryan have apparently pulled a 14-hour shift preparing all this information.
A 14-hour shift at the strippers.
Yeah. It must have been expensive, man. But Matt totally flounders, and I've just written can't watch because it was so awkward. Because it's so woolly.
Yeah, like, it turns out he's only figured out the one route rather than two, and the investors are asking him specifically, but what would happen if this doesn't work? And he's like, oh, so you know what, the difference would be quite dramatic. And you're like, oh, like, just how dramatic, you don't know. Yeah.
But oh, Sandy raging. Like, yeah. I feel like I've never seen him this mad.
Well, the investors are livid as well. You hear them when they're walking off, being like, oh, I can't believe we came all the way here for this, blah, blah, blah. And
doesn't look good. And then Sandy's raging at Ryan, which again, I'm like, he's 17, but Ryan should have, in hindsight, given Sandy the heads up, but he is 17. So,
But again, see, when he was at the strippers, instead of phoning Marissa, why wouldn't you phone
why
Sandy?
Why didn't he phone Sandy?
Right.
You know this isn't going to end well, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then, so we jump to Johnny's and Johnny falls and obviously Marissa saves them. And yeah, the scene was that was a really short scene, actually. She's like, let me get you your painkillers. I thought he would be going to the hospital from twisting his knee.
Who knows? See, so when I damaged my ankle the last time, I rolled over my ankle, and see the motion he did in this, I was like,
triggered.
No, okay, huh?
Oh, pal.
Anyway, Kirsten and Julie are at Jeff's house. Kirsten arrives. She has made the dinner. She's got her big, like, serving dish.
Like, platters.
Julie's got her flowers.
How much would those flowers, they're like, so influencer Instagram flowers, aren't they? Yeah, like, that's heavy. Like a big bouquet you'd get sent from like Mud or other flower 100%. Providers are available, but
like, they are excessive, but they are beautiful. And then it turns out the dinner is just for Julie.
So
he spent all this
creepy
money just to get a date with her, which I'm like, is that light prostitution if he is paying $5,000 for her to come over for dinner?
But she stays. She's like, and I think there was a little bit of obviously Julie's not been having a good time of it, and she's like, you did all of this just for a date with me. And she is sort of, she's bought in, but then again, I'm like, 5k is like drop in the ocean for this guy by the sounds of things. But Kirsten's just like, oh, here we go. And then, oh, it's so awkward, and Julie's like, hungry, and he's like, nope, big sleazy Jeff.
I did love it though when Kirsten was like, fine, but you're serving yourselves. Can you imagine if she had to hang around and serve them dinner?
So then from the guy's house, we cut to the strippers again.
Sure.
Sandy and a stripper is something I didn't really want to see. Like, it's just not that there's anything wrong with it, but yeah, just the way that it's portrayed in this particular episode, I'm just like, no, this isn't
his natural habitat.
Not, but he's raging that Matt had brought Ryan here. So he's like, you brought Ryan here, you lied to my face, you disrespected me and my company, and he fires Matt.
Good. So he thought he should.
And Ryan tries to object though. He's like, come on, come on. And it's just like, and then we cut to Matt's muse, Lily, just looking a little bit sad over in the corner.
Right, over to Johnny's house, and he is off his tits on painkillers. I mean, that is the only... So the last time I damaged my ankle, I was given some very lovely painkillers to the extent I couldn't remember people's names.
Oh my God.
Like, it was so weird. So I was at work. I was at work and I was trying to talk to someone, and I was like looking at the guy and I was like, I know you. I've worked with you for like 8 years at this point.
Oh no, Heather.
What is your name? Like, honestly, it was just like completely, I believe a good Scottish term for it is spangled.
Spangled.
I was spangled. Yep. That's what I was. Having a lovely time. So I get his vibe right now. Like, I get it. Sure.
Yeah, but it's so awkward. He's like, oh, you're making this so hard. I really like you. And Miss is like, huh, I like you too. And he's like, no, I like you. I think I'm in love with you.
Do you remember that phrase though? Like, I don't like you. I'm like, oh, that's cute. No?
I totally do. It's very teeny, isn't it? It's like, man.
I like you.
And we don't really see much of a reaction.
From there, we jump over to the pool house and Seth is chatting to Ryan. And I actually really like this when he's like, so, and he asks him loads of questions. And he's like, cool, we've exhausted all your problems, so now we can talk about mine.
Yeah, I love that.
Like, when you go to somebody and you're like, want to talk, you've got something you want to talk about, but you have to do
a little segue.
You're
just
like, okay, hurry up now.
But then Seth, obviously this is what it's been about all along, he's like, what is Summer being smart changes our dynamic, and he starts going through, he's like, I meant to be the funny one, but Summer's actually like really funny. And then Ryan's like clutching at straws, he's like, yeah, well, I mean, you've got like, you've got your film and your comic books. And Seth's like, well, girls don't like that kind of thing. But then I think like Ryan, what he says here is like so astute and so sensible, and he's like, Summer doesn't want to be you, she wants to be with you. And I think that's exactly like what you've been saying. He's lost sight of it, that they are a couple. It's like almost as if he's competing with his pal, and it's like, no, it's, you need to remember this is a relationship. It's not two pals pitted against each other. Like, she wants you for you. She, you know, so
I also found it really weird because he kind of described being smart as like his only manly quality, and I was just like, oh, that's gross. That's a gross that is a gross thing to say, Seth.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
And then we've got Summer and Marissa like in bed, and Johnny's repeatedly calling.
I really like Summer's bed sheets here. They're like pink silk.
Yeah, they're cute.
Not mad at it. Not mad at it one bit.
No. I got new bed sheets, and I didn't realise they have a kind of like cute pattern on the outside, but underneath it's almost like quite silky on the reverse side.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that. And last night I was just like, oh, these are the best.
I really want to get some, I want a silk pillow. Apparently it's meant to be really good
for your hair. Yeah, good for your hair and your skin, apparently. Ooh,
maybe I'll invest. I'll report back, listeners. I'll report back. Anyway, Summer, our eternal muse, is like, maybe you should chill things out, because he does, like, I already know that he likes you because he told me. and she's like, well, now I, well, Marissa is like, well, now I know maybe I should stay away for a while. Do I tell Ryan? Like, that is an awkward situation to be in. Like,
yeah, I sort of feel for Marissa because she's known, but she's tried to ignore it, which I think is fine, because what's she going to say to him? Like, oh, well, actually, we need to stop hanging out and I can't be your friend because I think you might fancy me.
She's yeah.
Like, wow. Well, you might be right, but, you know, you're never going to, like, say that. And I think she does genuinely care for him and care about him. But, yeah, she realises, right, okay, I have to step back. And she then says, right, I need to call Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, that was never going to be a fun conversation, was it?
Nah. Nah. And then we've got Ryan and Sandy discussing Matt. And I just felt this was a bit, Ryan's like, oh, well, you don't know the whole situation. Like, he's been dumped.
So shit.
Yeah. And then it's like Q Lily coming in, like, Matt and I are friends. He's not one of my clients. And then we've got this whole sort of trying to challenge the will. Yeah, I'm actually at college and I'm dancing to pay for like law school type thing. And she's like, Matt's a good guy. And I've just written, is he? Because I genuinely can't remember. And Stephen said that as well. He was like, is Matt a good guy? Like, really can't remember where this is going, you know?
I also just don't like... I just find it so weird that I get, like, Lily coming and fighting her court, like, fighting for her pal. Like, weird, but sure. But, like, Sandy listening to Ryan's opinion on his business partner, you would just be like, no offense, you're a kid. Like,
yeah, and I felt this was sort of a bit of an unfair stereotype as well, as if all businessmen are a fan of strip clubs, because she's like, I set him up with those guys in the first place because I knew the investors. And he's like, oh, is it one of your law school professors? She's like, no, one of my clients. As if like all, and then you had that comment Julie made at the start as well about Sandy falling into the, I would like my stripper, my cleaner to be a nude stripper.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
But it turns out she was the hookup with the investor, right? That's the kind of outcome of this. That's, so, like, they've got a second chance to, like,
not
give it
believable,
a go.
But yeah.
So back over to Summer's house and Seth is at the door.
They both look so cute. Like, in my head, both their outfits. Steph's got, like, the little baseball top on and Summer's got, like, nice top and jeans on and her hair looks great. And it's just very much, if I was to think back to the OC or, like, outfits I thought were like cool at that time, I'd be like, oh, this is what it looks like.
A cute outfit. A good outfit.
Just wholesome, cute. Like, yeah. Loved it.
And he is sorry for being an ass.
Yeah.
Good.
That's one thing I feel that Seth does know when he has to apologize, even though Ryan usually has to tell him. But, you know, he does like suck it up and he does, seems quite vulnerable. And I don't think he's that, he'll eventually will reveal his vulnerabilities and sort of take it on the chin. And I thought, when he's saying, oh, you're all these things that are better than me, like you're stronger, and he's like, not just emotionally.
And then
I thought it was weird what Summer said, and she's like, I'll always look up to you, and not just because you're taller. And I'm like, what do you look up to, Ali? Like,
yeah, I mean,
you do,
physically,
he's much taller than you.
Definitely. I guess, like,
there's a lot of things I admire in Stephen and like I really love him, but I wouldn't say I look up to him as in like you're the type of person I aspire to be. I just thought it was a really weird thing to say to your boyfriend.
I get what they're trying to say, like I get the gist of it, and I get they probably just wanted to make that little joke like at the end. I'm also just like, I don't like, you're inspirational, or like I really like, I feel like the actual wording of I'll always look up to you is weird.
It was almost as if to me that they were suggesting that she was always going to be like, as if I know my place, like I'll never be as, I will always be the inferior like one in the relationship, which I thought this doesn't really tie in with. I just find it weird. Anyway, it was a lot for that taller joke, if that's the segue they were trying to make. But
Sandy and Matt, We have
blah
this
blah. That's all I've written. Matt feels bad. If he felt that bad, you wouldn't have like.
Yeah.
How could that have possibly gone well? You know.
Yeah. Next time you need help, just ask for it. See you at 8 a.m. on Monday. This is your last chance. Don't screw it up. I feel that he is going to screw it up. This my gut feeling.
Yeah. Again, I can't think where it really goes, but you do sort of get that feeling. Quite a lot of tough love from Sandy, which I like. He's given him another chance. But I don't feel he's sort of. I don't know. I wasn't sure how Sandy... It was interesting because I feel if this had been the same, if this had been Ryan or Seth, it would have been... And I know it's a different situation, a different dynamic. But yeah, I feel this is the first time we've actually really saw it. Because even with Jimmy, to an extent, he's always sort of come round and...
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas I feel he's just like, looks your last chance, pal.
Yeah.
But get then, your act together.
Do you think this is him, like, hardening to this business life?
Maybe.
Like, this business vibes. But I mean, if he was that hard, he would have just sacked him and been like, nah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but hey-ho, so... That's where that's going. And we've then got Julie turning up at the Coens, and the date was awful because the guy had a sandpaper tongue. Nice. Nice. Jeff looked like he had a sandpaper tongue, didn't he? You seen that one coming.
But Julie apologises for being unprofessional. But based on this experience, Kirsten's had an idea.
Yep, she's had a little light bulb moment.
Yeah, they should set up a high-end dating service.
And I was not like, high-end call girl service, no. High-end dating.
Not to be confused. Not the same. But yeah, sure, it's a weird vibe, like Tinder before Tinder was a thing. But yeah. Sure, yeah. Go not. Maybe more of a Bumble vibe than Tinder.
Yeah.
But sure.
Yeah, so then we've got Johnny turning up at Summers, and you're just like, oh, and it's a fact that he's like, mum's had to drive him there, and obviously Marissa's been patching the calls, and it is just a bit, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not stalking you. Yeah, a wee bit, pal, but Marissa tries to, she's like, oh, you don't have to explain. She's like, and she tries to make a little joke. She's like, oh, pills mess you up, I should know. And then Johnny hits out with, I didn't mean to say them. Those things, but I meant it. And it's just like, oh. Yeah, and things just are so weird. And I think, like, Marissa, what she says, she's like, yep, things are weird. We do need some time apart, which I think is really sensible.
Yeah.
And they have this sort of, like, long awkward hug. And, yeah, just need to see where this goes, I guess.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing that's quite difficult is because, like, if they both decide that they want to be friends and Johnny genuinely is like, cool, give me some time, I'll get over this and then we can be pals again. Like, I'm like, sure, that's valid. That's probably quite difficult when you're 17 years old, switching your feelings off.
Having the emotional maturity and capacity to do these things, you know, like a lot of adults, it's tough, man. Like, you can't just, yeah. So we'll see where that goes. But then I actually quite liked how this episode ended. So you've got like Seth and Summer being all cutesy doing their like brown applications. And then you've got Ryan and Marissa obviously driving to see each other.
Yeah.
And obviously Marissa turns up at the pool house and Ryan turns up at Summer's. And yeah, then you've got Seth and Summer posting their apps and their...
What is it he says? Yeah. He's like, it's your dream now too. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it's very cute. And they're like, whoever gets in, they have to go.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I still love you. And it's quite...
That's quite nice.
Sweet.
But it's almost like, I feel like the way this is shot, it's like Seth and Summer are getting closer together, whereas like Ryan and Marissa are getting further apart.
Yeah. And then you've got Ryan sitting with Princess Sparkles, although it was funny because when I was rewatching this today and writing my notes, Stephen had already watched it and he's like sitting across from me, and then Ryan's like, she's like, oh, I'm in the pool house, and he's like, well, I'm in Summers, and then Ryan's like, oh, do you want me to come over? And she's like, no, let's just
talk
chat
to me.
Yeah. And Stephen was just like, fuck off, why would you just sit in each other's like houses talking to each other?
And like, how does Summers like dad feel about some random boy that's not even going out with his daughter turning up at his house?
Imagine you go in and there's a boy sitting in your daughter's bed like playing with her toy pony.
I also feel like he's going in far too rough in Princess Sparkle's hair. I was concerned.
It's just a bit weird, but it's actually maybe it is easier to have this type of conversation not face to face, and for them just to be able to, because it's they're both completely honest with each other. And yeah, I don't know, I think you can tell that they have been through a lot, and they are, I think they're definitely learning to deal with things in a much more mature fashion. Even just obviously we cut back a few episodes ago with Ryan trying to manage his anger and trying to trust Marissa and trying to give her the benefit of the doubt a lot of the time. So yeah, well, interested to see where this all goes.
Yeah. So what is it? He kind of lets slip that, not lets slip, but tells her that he got a lap dance. And I really like the fact she's not jealous at all. Like, she kind of just laughs. It was similar when the Vegas, what was that, season one? Like,
yeah.
When he was like, oh, I'm going to Vegas. Or when he was like, oh, I'm going to Florida or Miami, wherever it was. And she's just like, cool. Like, I there's no question of her trust on Ryan.
Yeah. And I think it's, she knows as well. She knows him well enough to know that, like, that's probably Ryan's worst nightmare more than it is hers.
Yeah, for know? Sure. And yeah, she tells him the truth about what happened with Johnny. And I find it interesting you didn't really get any reaction from Ryan.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the opening of the next episode, isn't it? Like, Seth and Ryan debriefing this.
Yeah, interesting. Do you know what the next episode is?
Is this a question, or do you know the answer to this?
No, I know the answer.
Yes, I may have watched on, but it was a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, so. I've not watched on. I just looked. It's Chris McCaw.
Yeah, of course it is. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we're in for a good one next episode.
Oh, I'm so pumped. Yay. I'm so pumped.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought I think I watched both of these. Yeah, I watched this and then I watched on. Like, I didn't take any notes or anything. I just rewatched for the enjoyment, you know. It. So yeah.
No, I'm super excited. I love a good Chris McCaw episode. They're always very exciting. Yeah.
They're awesome. There's and they did really play up Summer saving Chris McCaw in that last episode. So that was a nice little segue. So yeah,
I mean, they've really skipped over like Thanksgiving, fireworks night, Halloween, like,
yeah,
all these key events, but sure.
But yeah, that's us, listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da, listener of the week. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-bum. Our listener of the week this week is Mark Ferguson. I don't think we've done Mark before. I could go back and like look into it, but I can't be bothered. So if you have Mark, take your two listener of the week trophies and move forth in your life. He got in touch last month to say, I cannot believe I've only just discovered this Instagram page. The OC is my favorite show of all time, and I always make time to watch it all through from start to finish at least once a year. I've just finished rewatching season two, but I'll go back and listen to your podcast and catch up to season three. Are yous from Scotland? Because anytime I tell anyone about the OC, they've not got a clue what I'm on about, which makes me think he's from Scotland.
Mainly he's called Mark Ferguson. Yeah. And he said yous. He's definitely from Scotland.
So yeah, Mark, let us know if you've caught up. Like, I'm intrigued. Get back in touch.
He's definitely not listened to all the episodes since January, like the podcast.
I mean, honestly, the rate that some people channel through our podcast blows my mind. Like, some people will be like, oh, I'm on season one, and then 2 weeks later be like, oh, I'm caught up. I'm like, how amazing. Much of my voice have you listened to? Sorry about that. Well, thanks for listening, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, get in touch, thanks,
and
Mark.
Let us know where, I mean, it would be really awkward if it's like August and he's like, oh, I've just caught up. So hopefully it's soon. But if you would like to be in with a chance of being listener of the week, you can follow us at Never Seen the OC on Twitter and Instagram. We're definitely more popping on the gram than we are Twitter. But, you know, a follow's a follow. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that'd be great.
Spread the word.
And yeah, you can subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those lovely places too.
Awesome.
Great. I'm going to have a chip shop dinner and I'm so excited.
Oh, that does sound amazing. I'm going to have burgers and more wine. Yes. Oh,
lovely. I need to crack the wine open, actually. Yes. It's officially wine time.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, thanks, guys. Catch you next time.
Yeah, see you next time for Chris McCaw. Bye.
Chris McCaw. Bye.
Bye.